24, for chloride cases. Mr. Briggs.
This is a written report today, as we have with every agenda item. So it's an opportunity for questions, and also Jim Ashcraft from the City of Morgan Hill has turned in a card regarding the Olin site.
Okay. Do we have... Where's his card?
Let's see. Oh, also we have a card from Sylvia Hamilton. Here's his card.
Okay. So should we have our speakers?
Unless there are any questions from the board before that.
Any board questions? Okay. Mr. Ashcroft?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I think you all have now a copy of a letter dated this date. Just like to highlight three things for the board's further information. Two are updates of information you've had before, and one is sort of a new way to present information. The first one I'd like to say is Olin reports in their newest report that they have treated and removed perchlorate from 217 million gallons of groundwater to date. By comparison, the city of Morgan Hill, solely at ratepayers' expense, has treated and removed perchlorate from 1.6 billion gallons of water. So Olin's efforts are about 14% of the city's efforts to date. The new information, I have two figures attached to my letter that are really a new way of showing what Olin has presented in their last report, and it just goes to the subject of how good of a job our tenant well is doing at removing perchlorate. Figure number two is a composite of two Olin reports that first show groundwater flow near their site and then secondly show existing concentrations of perchlorate. And if you look at that figure, figure two is in the intermediate aquifer, and it shows that the groundwater flow for several hundred feet from the tenant well is directly in the direction of tenant well because it's creating a groundwater depression. It's been operating 24/7 for over 3.5 years, so it is capturing perchlorate. Figure three even shows more direct. That's the deep aquifer, and again, it shows groundwater flow direction directly toward the tenant well, several hundred feet away from the well. And by looking at those contours of the groundwater flow and the concentrations of perchlorate, again, you can tell that tenant well is really capturing perchlorate from the deep aquifer and removing it. I would also like to remind the board that the tenant well not only is removing a substantial amount of Olin's perchlorate, that's the only well that has pumped and removed perchlorate from the deep aquifer since the regional board staff began overseeing this remediation activity 7 years ago in 2001. Then lastly, my figure three is just an update of some information. We're showing you what the current raw water perchlorate readings of their tenant well is. The figure three, I guess it's not numbered, the last figure, shows what the action level and now MCL of perchlorate over time has been. First few years, perchlorate levels fluctuated quite a bit, but for the last 2.5 years, they've been very steady, around 6 parts per billion, the current MCL. And that completes my report to the board today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Where are we with the briefs that were going to be submitted and considered by staff on this part of this issue?
The parties, both Olin and the City of Morgan Hill, have submitted all the briefs. Meanwhile, the State Water Board decided to take up the petition, so the staff and my time has been spent in preparing the response to the petition, which is due in about a week and a half. So my plan was to take the briefs that the board had requested and provide evaluation of those and give that to the board. But I haven't done that yet because of the other items. So this matter, actually, and even the issues Mr. Ashcroft have raised are actually before the State Water Board in the petition now.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Can I ask one question, please? Mr. Ashcroft. You point out here that you're averaging 6. You have a couple of excursions to 7 in recent history. So what prevents you, even though it's maybe not politically attractive, but it is something that's done all the time to deal with these kinds of situations, what prevents you from blending in order to consistently meet 6?
Yeah, the state, we're regulated by the Department of Health Services. We had a nitrate problem a number of years ago, and the only way we could blend is to take the single well that we were having nitrate problems with and run a separate water line all the way to our reservoir, 3 miles, so that the blending was in the reservoir to make sure anyone getting water out of the system that it was already blended. Like most domestic water systems, our wells just pump into a grid. The grid goes out, serves homes, serves businesses, and feeds the reservoirs. So unless you're blending right in a reservoir, there's no way to guarantee anyone getting the water is going to get the water blended. So in the case of Tennant, if we were to request a blending operation from DHS, they'd require us to run a 4-mile pipeline to our closest reservoir, blend it in the reservoir, and then serve it. And that we don't believe would be cost effective. That is why we have not pursued that option.
And did you provide that information in the briefs?
I don't remember that we were ever asked to provide that information.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, that was one of the questions.
That was a threshold question.
Oh, I don't even recall the question. This is the first time I've heard it, so.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Sylvia Hamilton just went to move her car a few minutes
she
ago.
She did.
So if she's not here, she's looking for a parking space. Okay.
Okay. Do we have any cards? Oh, the vapor cleaners is over here. I think we're going to get to that probably after lunch. Is that?
Yeah, you've got an appointment at noon.
We do. Okay. Ms. Hamilton, we're eagerly awaiting your presence.
I had to go move my car.
Okay.
Oops. It's not my day. First of all, I want to thank you, and thank you for your patience as well. PCAG is really very grateful, and we applaud all of you. We applaud you, your staff, all of the agencies involved, and also Olin. A great deal has been accomplished, and we're very proud to work with all of you. I'm sorry, I kind of got thrown back coming in at the last second. We also applaud your support and the decision that you made in order to more aggressively address the cleanup of the intermediate aquifer. As you know, and I know you're just as concerned as we are, EMA is not the most popular cleanup strategy as far as our community is concerned. We're very concerned about that, and I know that you are as well. And when you think about it, it makes sense to be concerned about EMA. First of all, attenuation has been going on for over 50 years. EMA has been in place for 5 years, and during that period of time, approximately 3 years, EMA has been taking place even though while the site has been cleaned up, and yet we still have concerns and problems. We still have people living daily with inconveniences of the bottled water, etc. And I think we all need to ask ourselves, how long do people have to stay on bottled water? At what point do we say they must have an ion exchange system on their well, because this has gone on for too long? And I know you've heard me say this before, but I don't think it hurts to repeat it. Until you've actually lived in those homes where they look at that bottled water and so forth every single day, you just can't really totally understand what people are living with. Some people can't even handle the bottles, even the smaller bottles, and they have neighbors that have to come over to bring the bottles in, you know, mount them, etc. And so there's a lot to this, and of course we're 5 years into this. But I have to stress how grateful I am that we have PCAG, that you have authorized the formation of PCAG, and that your staff has been there regularly and has been so great about responding to questions, etc. I also want to mention a couple of other things. We all are very concerned about the monitoring schedule, and certainly as well, more and more wells are not being monitored. And I know that they're in the process, your staff is in the process of revising the MRP, and we're very excited about that and anxious to view what they have written in there and what the total overall plan is. So we're grateful for that as well. And look forward to seeing that coming along, coming in pretty soon. Another major area to us is the contingency plan and all the pieces that go into that, the triggers, etc. And we're anxious to see a very specific plan that outlines all of those triggers, as well as the what all the different remediations that might be able to take place if they are not meeting the benchmarks. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Any board comments or questions for Ms. Hamilton?
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Okay. My sense is that we should break for lunch, and then when we resume, we'll take up former vapor cleaners, item number 25. We have some closed session items.
Right. Let me make an announcement. We have consideration of and receiving advice from counsel on one Los Osos matter. It's item number 9 on the list of closed sessions, Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund versus the Regional Board. And just to note that Mr. Briggs and Dr. Hunter will not participate in that closed session. And then the other item that we were going to discuss was the petition of the City of Morgan Hill with respect to the Olin matter.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Should we be back here at 1 o'clock? Is that possible?
Probably 1:15.
Okay. Thank you.